Welcome to the Catch a Jew podcast. I'm your host, Jack Ferrick. Today's guest is Joe Singley. Joe is currently one of the most premier online catching coaches and is rapidly becoming popular with any catching guy in the country. Thanks for joining us today, Joe. How you doing, brother?
I'm all right. How are you?
Doing well, man. Getting ready. I know you in the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. Is that how it is?
Chanticleers.
There we go. Now you guys got good weekend series coming up. So wanted to touch base before you got too busy this week and talk some catching, man.
Sounds good.
All right. So Joe, you and I met online. We were kind of watching each other's stuff, and I really liked how free flowing your movements were when you were catching, and and how you were really kind of working from the ground up. You have a really smooth presentation that your catchers are always end up. I always see you guys getting to, and I watch you when you're demonstrating. I call it the singly sweep. Kind of wanted to get your thought process behind how you get your guys to move, and maybe some drills or something like that that you guys do that really helps your guys feel that movement and that smoothness through the ball to the presentation.
Right. Well, first thing I like to go over with my guys is stance. In my opinion, stance is the groundwork for everything. It's like our foundation for our house. If we don't have a good stance, you know, we either setting ourselves up. If we do have a good stance, we set ourselves up to succeed. If we don't, we're already setting ourselves up for failure. So each body type is different. Each guy is different. I mean, you hear one knee, left knee, right knee, traditional. Doesn't matter. It varies from person to person. But overall, I like to position themselves in a good stance to succeed. To not only execute how they need to present the pitch properly, but also give the pitcher a good target with our body. So after stance is done, then we move obviously into our target. Each target's different. I mean, some pitchers like, you know, targets in a certain spot. Some pitchers, doesn't matter. So from there, we go to target. And then after target, we go to our pre-pitch. Now, this is something where it's highly debated and talked about now, especially on Twitter, over Instagram, about the glove drop or, you know, glove wink or glove turn. For me personally, I go with whatever the kid likes, and I'll throw out suggestions. But for my own personal use, I'm a big fan of the glove drop. And why I'm a fan of the glove drop is because for catching, we need to be on time, we need to be on plane, and we need to beat the ball. So most recently, what I've been telling kids about is to be on time with the ball, okay, we have to have a timing mechanism. So that is our pre-pitch move, which for me is a load, glove drop load. So for me, as I'm glove dropping, right, as I'm dropping my glove and the pitcher gets set to throw, for me, this is like my stride. This is me, okay, getting ready, okay, ball out of his hand, boom. Or here it comes, curveball, nope, ball. So this allows me adjustability to go, okay, inside pitch, come up, outside pitch, boom. So the glove drop in that sense for me is huge. So what I would tell the kids is that we need to be on time, obviously. We need to be behind the ball depth-wise and width-wise. And we need max plane. So for me, the sweep, is a way that you can tackle all three of those things.
Right. No, and I think that's huge, man. And I think one thing that that when people watch your videos, and I hope people understand the versatility in which you're teaching those starting points and how everyone is different. Because I've watched your videos and with the intent kind of going, because whenever I'm making, observations, or I'm watching somebody, I always want to watch and make sure that, you know, I'm not trying to become, no offense, a friend with a one trick pony, right. Which you are not. And what I like is, and I even told you, this was like, I was watching your videos and it kind of helped me figure out a different way to explain kind of what I was working with our guys, and that the versatility of the movement. And I'm also a person, if we're attacking the bottom of the zone you know, the way I try to describe it to my catchers is, look, if we're attacking the bottom of the zone, I need you to be under the zone so that you naturally are going to work the ball back to it versus trying to get to the ball, be on top of the ball, get under the ball, and then pull it back up, or get to the ball and hold on when I can get underneath. And, you know, the thing that I always laugh when, you know, I get pushback or, you know, people are asking is the huge difference between catching and hitting is I called the pitch. So I know what's coming. Right. And the thing that I always talk to our catchers about is, look, we don't get beat on what that pitch does well. So if I have a sinker ball guy and his ball's at the bottom of the zone, I don't get beat on sink. That's not allowed. Now, if the sinker ball guy throws one over my head, okay, I got to react and make a play, but I never want to get beat on what the pitch is supposed to do. And that versatility, kind of like what you're talking about, it's, you know, that's what allows guys to start being, and I did something last week talking about being outside the zone or outside the ball and what that really means. And what I always liked about, you know, watching your movements and how your movement patterns and your guys is they really understand if that ball's here, right, and the zone's here, they really understand the ability to get outside the ball to work it. Or if that ball's here and I'm underneath, be able to work outside the zone underneath the ball, you know, to move it. And I think that to me is really what allows catchers to be versatile and move, because not only are catchers built different, like you were alluding to, pitchers are built different too. And, you know, you may have a guy that's a sinker ball guy that starts the game. And then, you know, you get to the later innings, you might have guys that are pitching at the top of the zone. So your pre-pitch movement is probably going to be different for a guy who is at the top of the zone versus a guy that, you know, we're trying to attack the bottom of the zone. And, you know, and I think that's huge. And I also think, like, when guys are and catchers are understanding, like some kids are like, well, I don't want to give away what's coming. Well, if first of all, you know, very unlikely somebody's going to be able to have time to go off your pre-pitch movement to signal, to signal somebody what's coming, without maybe electronic devices. And I think people are working really hard to get rid of those. You know, they probably don't have them, but you know, that's the thing. And with synergy and stuff like that, the collegiate level, you know, there's a lot of tendencies already out there. So you're going to know, the other team's already going to know if a sinker ball guy's in there or if a guy pitches at the top of the zone, those tendencies. So, kind of walk us through, you know, some of the things that you talk about as far as the relationship with your shoulder and your hand and how you get that to that nice flat presentation that I always see on your videos and your guys working on getting that nice flat presentation for the umpire to see.
Yeah. First I want to touch base on, you know, obviously the sweep, right? But how we get there, and you know why we do certain things we do when catching. So a big thing that I'm huge on now is not cookie cutting, not pigeonholing things. I mean, you go on, you know, most college coaches now, or you know, you go on Twitter or whatever, a lot of things are cookie cut, you know, and a lot of things take away the player's ability to be himself. You know, I mean, obviously we all have different skill sets, we all have different features. I mean, I have really long arms, you know, and we have a catcher that has really short arms.
Yeah, I was gonna say, you look like a pterodactyl, bro. I mean, you got ridiculous wingspan.
I do things that he can't, so that obviously has to modify the way I teach him. So a big thing that I preach our kids is during bullpens, work on things. I teach work on different loads, work on different pre-pitch movements, work on different receiving techniques, you know, work on extension deflection. But overall, the main components stay the same, right? We have to match the plane. We have to be early, if not, you know, on time. And we have to beat the ball. By beat the ball, I mean get behind it depth-wise, right, and width-wise. And I call them weapons. I like to train multiple weapons. So in game, right, I'm not always going to use the sweep. In game, I'm going to have so many different weapons in my repertoire to where, depending on the pitch, right? If the pitch breaks, if I'm expecting a right-handed slider, okay, and I'm loading shading there, and if everything works out perfect, then I'm going to sweep right through it. But if it cuts or it runs or it backs up on me or something, okay, then I got to go to plan B. And what's plan B, right? I've trained those already. Right. So that's a big thing that I teach my catchers is to have, not to be a one-trick pony, but to be athletic back there, to make right. catching. So to get back to your question for the sweep, being hurt for the last 4 years, I've had four shoulder surgeries. It's allowed me to open my mind again and really, you know, get into the thought process of why we do things and how we do things. Mm-hmm. So really thinking about it and catching so many bullpens in those time being hurt, you experiment with different things and you learn that experience creates anticipation. So you can anticipate certain pitches movements and you get more comfortable doing certain things. So anyway, I found that when I got really low and I worked as almost if I was trying to pick the ball out of the air, it was pretty crisp. And I was cutting off, you know, you can cut off this much distance or this much distance and you can make it look really smooth. Now, another component to that is, depending on the umpire, it also changes what I do when I'm catching. Some umpires, you'll see JT Realmuto, right? I get here, he'll sweep up through it and he'll throw it right back and not stop at all. And he could move 2 feet, right? And that forces the umpire to make a decision. Some other umpires don't like much movement. So, you know, you cut, receiving the ball here and cutting it off right here. So the actual movement itself, I learned that it has to be shoulder led. So I have to act as if I'm a first baseman. I'm getting ready to pick up the ball. I'm here. My scap and my shoulder leads the movement. And I'm almost like a puppet, which pulls my elbow up. And my elbow is rotating my wrist.
Right.
And my, so it's shoulder, elbow, hand. Now my hand itself is going from 6 o'clock, my thumb, to 3 o'clock. So the movement is going to look something like this. So it's a three-piece movement that's fused. Right. It allows me to get to the inside pitches really well. So if there's inside pitch, if I'm expecting normally two-seamer from a right-hander, I'm going to slightly angle my body this way. And I'm going to give a target here. Now, most people say you're going to break your thumb or whatnot, but think about the alternative, right? The alternative would be to go here.
Right.
And then I have to teacup over. But I'm big on beating the ball, not only behind it, but also let's beat the ball before that thing breaks my thumb off. So right. I'm here, target, I'm loading, and I'm working the same thing, scap, elbow. So I'm almost doing like a McGregor walk, right?
Right.
Up through this ball, but I'm extending and picking it out of the air before it gives me that nasty break. Right. Just think about it. You got handed sliders and everything. If we don't get that ball before it breaks way off, you're in a really tough spot, especially right. if you don't clear your knee. So thumb down allows me to clear my knee and get out over versus the alternative, which would be, you know, teacupping myself and handcuffing in here.
Right. No, I think that's huge because I think, you know, the one thing I always talk about when we're working glove side, you know, pitches is, I don't want to lose my depth. And I talk a lot about not breaking the chain and sure. I don't want my glove to work closer to my chest while it's moving out because I lose that depth. Now I lose that ability. And I like the McGregor walk thing because it kind of just the slide. And because sometimes I would say like, it's like a boxer jab, you know, yep. but at the same point, you know, you get scared, especially when you're working with younger catchers, you know, to use words like jab or punch, because, you know, they're already having issues of understanding the correct depth at which to receive the ball at. So you don't want them to start, you know, lunging out or anything like that. So, you know, I really like that, the visual of the McGregor walk. If you don't know who Conor McGregor is, you're probably not going to be a catcher. So don't worry about it. No, I'm just kidding. But when the shoulder works, and I think that thumb down, you know, you're in a position now to work through the ball and get on that correct plane, you know, and one thing that I've gotten our catchers to understand is that if I'm here, I'm not trying to work this way back to the plate. I'm going to work this way through right. so that my shoulder can be behind me and that fused movement, like you described, allows me to get back through. And I think that's huge. And I think, You know, when we're in training and we're working on these movements, you know, just like anything, you're going to over-exaggerate these movements. You're going to increase the range of motion of what you would normally do, just like any other defensive work, right? Like when you're in a game, when you're in practice, outfielders are going to get, you know, probably two or three steps behind a fly ball. And in a game, they might only get one step behind. Or, you know, we're going to take our time on ground balls. We're going to make sure we're outside the ball so that we can work through the ball. Doesn't mean that when the lights turn on, that's what we're going to do, but we're going to train, like you said, and I use the same analogy. You know, I want to add as many weapons to my arsenal as possible, so that our catchers can go, you know, flip the switch. And, you know, it's nice though, like a college catcher has his staff and he has a pretty good idea of, you know, what his guys and those numbers aren't, those guys aren't going to change except for, you know, from year to year. You know, and I tell a lot of kids, you know, it's really hard, you know, the showcase catchers, you know, some of these kids, they're catching guys that they've never seen before and they get about 20 pitches in the pen. Right. And that's when you really start seeing, okay, does this kid have weapons in his arsenal, or is he going to be in trouble if, you know, if this guy and him don't get on the same page quickly. And I like that. And I like I said, I'm big on the athleticism, the free flow, and then using, and I love that you made the comment about, you know, you having long arms as an instructor, but understanding that some of your catchers don't have those, and being able to manipulate their particular movement patterns to get them the same, end result. And I think that's so important, because when people are, you know, looking at your stuff, or, you know, the thing that I see the most when it comes to any kind of negativity, when it comes to a coaching style, is, well, that'll work for him, or, you know, that won't work for me. And if people take the time and really kind of watch what you're doing, they'll start seeing that it's more than just how you're demonstrating. I love some of the videos you got on there with some of the guys that you're working with. I know you have a video with one of the softball catchers there. And being able to manipulate movement patterns for individuals to get the same thing, I think is so important, and should get people to kind of, I guess, open their minds up a little bit.
Right. I think that's our, you know, one of our huge responsibilities, if not the biggest responsibility as a coach, is obviously, you know, we have to lead by example, but also, you know, as a coach, you have to find a way to connect the dots for that kid, you know. Right. I mean, and, you know, teaching, obviously for myself and for, one of my best friends, Tanner Garrison, he's got very long arms, so he's big into the sweeping. He catches just like JT Realmuto. For him, right, I can teach a sweep. I can teach everything. He understands everything that, you know, that I teach on a regular basis. And for a guy like Hunter Ashburn, another one of my best friends, he's got the shorter arms. He has to go more extension to flexion. So the way that I teach Hunter certain things, the drills, the wording that I use, the things, I have to switch that up completely to be able to connect the dots in his head, to make him be able to understand himself and be the best version of himself that he possibly can be. And I think that's something that should be emphasized more nowadays, especially in coaching and everything, that, you know, there is no magic, you know, fat loss pill out there. You know, it's right. Different for everybody. It's different for every person.
No, I think, like I said, man, at one point I started coaching around like 21 years old, and I had ideas, and obviously I 35 now, but now having some years in the coaching world, you know, recognizing young talent as far as from the coaching standpoint, you know, the toughest thing when you're young is, you know, you feel like you have to prove yourself, you feel like you have to do stuff, and I know from my own personal experience, you know, it takes a lot of self-awareness and self-confidence to maybe push stuff and work on stuff that, you know, may not be the norm. And, you know, the new norm is always not going to be the norm, you know, a couple of years ago. And, you know, like I've been working on, you know, one knee stuff the last 6 years or so, in our stuff and, you know, in our camps and stuff. And then obviously it wasn't, you know, a main staple in how we do things, but it was something that I gravitated towards, and I kept putting it in there, kind of putting it in the arsenal for guys and say, hey, you know, this is this, or this is this. And kind of the same thing with these big movements, right? And what I think a lot of people, when you're watching from the outside in, and what people who maybe like are looking from a pitcher standpoint or an umpire standpoint, I think the hardest thing is they see this movement, right? That's big, but the movement is really the same length, except now it's just one direction versus right. When we were kind of stuck in the middle and we were really kind of forearm to wrist catchers, where we really couldn't utilize the shoulder the way we wanted to because we were stuck. And maybe we did a quarter turn or glove, you know, we did something for our timing, and only really talented, I mean, to be honest, really talented lightning hand type people could kind of use their shoulder with them. Most people kind of got forearm to wrist, forearm to hand, and that ball was there. You know, we almost did a check mark. We'd start here with our glove. We have to get down and then try to get back up, or get down and then at least hold. So that movement, let's say that movement took, you know, 12 inches. Now I think we're making a movement before and we're moving that 12 inches, but now it's just one direction. And I think that when people are seeing it, and I think the other thing too, is because of the catching world and the social media and, you know, everyone having time, you're actually seeing more video of catchers, you know, receiving, which I think is a lot of fun. And I think it's bringing an excitement to the position that, you know, necessarily you might not have seen, you know, five, eight years ago. You know, I think we're starting to get kids in the youth community that maybe would want to play shortstop, you know, and now they're starting to want to get behind the plate, or, you know, bigger, stronger kids who maybe were struggling in a traditional setup just because, you know, maybe they're just not ready to get into a traditional setup, now have a weapon to kind of gradually work themselves into. So, as soon as you and me connected, I was like, man, I want to make sure that, you know, I got you in my network, and you're one of the guys that, you know, I would call and I talk to, because I really like the energy and the explanation, you know, of what you're doing and kind of what you're doing right now, which is really impressive, is being a young guy and being able to get your peers to listen to you, I think speaks volumes, you know, of what you're about as a coach and your mindset, because it's easier to get somebody 10 years younger than you to listen, you know, versus, you know, somebody that's your age, or, you know, somebody that, you know, just somebody that, you know, you maybe feel like, you know, you guys are at the same level, or, you know, sometimes as coaches, you know, I always say, if you and me are at the same level, that means I'm not a very good coach, because my job is to make you the best possible. Right. And I want you to climb that ladder. So no, man, like I said, if people out there haven't watched your stuff, you know, I really recommend that, you know, people get on it, look at the videos. You do a great job of putting explanations, not only with what you're saying on your videos, but the word and the text that you're putting on the videos to really simplify it. I really like that, man. If you could do me a favor and tell everybody how to follow your catching and information like that, if you could tell everybody that, that'd be awesome.
Instagram would be under @catching_singly. So @catching_singly.
All right, perfect. And you're also on TikTok?
TikTok would be @Joe_singly.
All right. Yeah. And so, yeah. And what we'll do is we'll also put that at the bottom of the video so that people can, when they're checking this out, they can go check you out at the same time. Joe, I know you got a lot going on, and I really appreciate your time today, brother. Is there anything you want to say in closing to wrap this up?
Never give up. you know, never give up hope, faith, or working, you know, keep praying, keep working hard, and then, you know, give the rest to God. It'll all fall in place.
Love it, brother. Really appreciate your time, man. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
All right, man. This was the Catch As You Podcast. I'm your host, Jack Farrick. See you guys out in the field.